Verily all praise is for Allah. We praise him, we seek his help and his forgiveness. We believe in him and place our trust in him and him alone. And I seek refuge with Allah from the evil of my actions and from myself. Whomsoever Allah guides, no one can misguide him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah leaves in error, there is none that can guide him after Allah. I give thee open testimony that there's none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Highly exalted is he over his creation. And I give thee open testimony that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is his final prophet and messenger for all time to come. O you who believe, have taqwa for Allah, the taqwa that is due to him and to the best of your ability, and do not die unless you are Muslim. O humanity, reverence your guardian Lord who has created you from a single person and from him his mate and from them too many men and women, and fear your Lord through whom ye demand your mutual rights, and respect the ties of kinship and the wombs that bore you, and Allah is an ever watcher over you. O you who believe, have taqwa for Allah, the consciousness, respect, and reverence that is due to him, and to the best of your ability, and always speak a word directed to the right, for he will forgive you your sins and set aright your affairs. And whoever obeys Allah and his messenger has indeed gained a magnificent achievement. As to what follows, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam and guests, we must know that the best speech is the speech of our Creator, Almighty Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the best guidance is the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about whom Allah, azza wa jalla, has said in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْزُ اللَّهَ وَيَوْمِ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكْرِ اللَّهِ كَثِيرًا, that verily in the Messenger of Allah, you have the most excellent model for him whose hope is in meeting Allah in the last day and who remember Allah much. And we must know that the worst of all affairs are the newly invented matters or innovations in the religion of Islam. For every newly invented matter, innovation, whether it be an addition to or a subtraction from this deen of Islam, it is a wicked going astray, and every going astray is misguidance. And every misguidance is in the fire. And we seek Allah's protection from that. My dear brothers and sisters, our topic tonight, the miracle birth of Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus the son of Mary, alayhi salam. Why is this topic so important for the Muslims today? You see, because many, many non-Muslims, and particularly in the country from where I came, who don't understand anything about Islam, they don't know that we believe in Jesus, Isa ibn Maryam. So we as Muslims have an obligation to let them know that yes, we do believe in Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus the son of Mary. This man called Jesus, Isa, the son of Mary, is one of the most significant men to have ever walked the earth. And indeed, we know that of all of the prophets and messengers of Allah, five of them stand out. An-Nabi Nuh, Noah, An-Nabi Ibrahim, the prophet Abraham, the prophet Noah, An-Nabi Musa, Moses, and An-Nabi Isa, Ibn Maryam, and An-Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa alayhim as-salam, and peace and blessings be upon all of them. This man, Jesus, is a subject of much discussion throughout the world today. It is the cause of misunderstanding that has often led to conflicts. And we as Muslims, being the balanced nation that Allah has made us, have the obligation to convey the truth about this mighty prophet and messenger of Allah. We are living in a time where Extremism is on the rise in many, many areas and domains, and no more dangerous than in the arena of religion. So how do Muslims view Jesus? We know that this man is regarded by some faiths as a false prophet. This is one extreme. By other faith groups, he's regarded as the very Son of God. Na'udhu billah. We seek Allah's protection from that. And some even go so far as to say that he is God. Ra'udhu billah min dhalik. We seek Allah's protection from that. But as Muslims who have been given the correct understanding of just who Jesus was, we have the obligation to convey that message to society. So we have to bring balance to these extremes. On the one hand, Jesus being regarded as a false prophet, and on the other hand, being regarded as God or the Son of God. Time where extremism is on the rise in many, many areas and domains, and no more dangerous than in the arena of religion. So how do Muslims view Jesus? We know that this man is regarded by some faiths as a false prophet. This is one extreme. By other faith groups, he's regarded as the very Son of God. Na'udhu billah. We seek Allah's protection from that. And some even go so far as to say that he is God. Ra'udhu billah min dhalik. We seek Allah's protection from that. But as Muslims who have been given the correct understanding of just who Jesus was, we have the obligation to convey that message to society. So we have to bring balance to these extremes. On the one hand, Jesus being regarded as a false prophet, and on the other hand, being regarded as God or the Son of God. Isa ibn Maryam, we are required as Muslims to believe in him as a part of the fundamentals of our belief. In many places in Quran, Allah addresses us to believe in not only Jesus, but to believe in all of the prophets that came before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are obligated to believe in our father Adam as the first prophet, and Nuh, and Ibrahim, and Moses, and David, and Solomon, Jesus, and finally Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We cannot be a Muslim without believing in Jesus and in his miracle birth. Yes, we believe that Jesus was born from a miraculous birth. In understanding the miraculous nature of the birth of Isa, we have to go back a little bit to understand just who he came from. Who was his mother? Allah tells us in the Quran, and remember when the angels said, O Maryam, verily Allah has chosen you, purified you, and chosen you above the women of the nations. Allahu Akbar. O Maryam, submit yourself with obedience to your Lord and prostrate yourself and bow down along with those who bow down. This is the part of the news of the unseen, which we reveal to you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You were not with them when they cast lots with their pins as to which should be charged with the care of Maryam, nor were you with them when they disputed. So we find that Jesus, peace be upon him, was born from a woman named Maryam, who was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be among the best of women. For who else could this great prophet and messenger be from other than the best of women from the nations? And you know something? And this is particularly for our sisters, mashallah. Allah says in the Quran that Maryam was commanded to bow down with those who bow down, to prostrate herself, and to surrender and submit herself. In other words, Allah Azza wa Jalla was telling Maryam to be a Muslim. Where in the world do you see women dressing like Maryam did, other than in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So don't ever be ashamed of your hijab, of your niqab, of your jilbab. There's some countries in the world that are demanding that our Muslim women take their clothes off, take their niqab off, take their hijab off. Would they tell Maryam, the mother of Jesus, to do that? Ask them that question. It is reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on the authority of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, the best woman was Maryam, daughter of Imran, and the best woman of the Prophet's time is Khadija bint Khuwailid. Allahu Akbar. So Maryam holds a very, very special place in the heart of the Muslim nation. Indeed, there's an entire chapter called Maryam, named after her. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. It is reported in the collection of the narrations of our Prophet's holy sayings, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, collection by Imam Bukhari, wherein he said, many men have reached the level of perfection, but no woman reached such a level except Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, and Maryam, the daughter of Imran. And then he went on to say that the superiority of his wife Aisha to other women is like the superiority of meat and bread to the other meals. Walhamdulillah. So it's important for us to understand that Jesus was born from a woman made pure by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in Surah Ali Imran, remember when the angel said, O Maryam, verily Allah gives you the glad tidings of a word from him, and his name will be Al-Masih Isa ibn Maryam, held in honor in this world and in the hereafter, and he will be one of those who are near to Allah. Muqarribin, muqarribin, those who are near to Allah. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran gives good news to Maryam of a son whose name will be the Christ, the anointed one. And he was called Al-Masih because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anointed him, but also because he would perform miracles of healing by rubbing his hand. Alhamdulillah. We know in the later life of Jesus, alayhi salam, that he was given the ability by the permission of Allah to heal the lepers, to make the blind see, to make the lame to walk, to make the dumb to speak, even raising up one from death. But he never claimed that that was a power that came from him. For indeed, all miracles are from the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this ayah, it tells us that Maryam was informed of a word from him. And this is where many of us, even as Muslims, have a misunderstanding. We have to know that the word was not a part or essence of Allah, but it was something that Allah created, mashallah ta'ala. The angel began to tell Maryam that he will speak to the people in the cradle and in manhood, and he will be one of the righteous. Now this is what Allah tells us in the Quran, that he will speak to the people in the cradle. Allahu Akbar. And he will be one of the righteous. She said, Ya Rabbi, oh my Lord, how shall I have a son when no man has touched me? He said, so, that is the angel said, so it will be, for Allah creates what he wills. When he has decreed something, he says to it, only be and it is. Kun fayakun. That is the word. Not that Jesus himself was a part of Allah, because this is where the misunderstanding comes. The word is something that Allah created and breathed into Maryam. Isa was the command fulfilled. When Allah commanded Isa to come about, he said, Kun, be Isa. And he became. Now, does this make Jesus, Mary's son, divine? Does this give him the right to be worshipped besides Allah? It has been reported on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu that no infant, according to the saying of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no child, no infant in the cradle spoke except for Isa and the companion of Juraij and one other boy. So this is a very, very distinguished honor given to Isa, being born of Maryam without the agency of a father and being able to speak intelligible language as a babe. But should this be the reason why he should be considered as a god or son of God? Miracles have a place and a purpose in life. Today, because of the nature of our society and because of the fact that atheism or the belief in no God is competing with faith, with the peoples of faith all over the world, it would be kind of hard to think about this idea of a child being born from a woman without the agency of a father, when we see now they're producing or they're attempting to produce life in test tubes. They've already done it with animals, and they're working on doing it with human beings. So it is as if they are the disbelievers in God are attempting to challenge the sovereignty and the rule and the quality and characteristic of Allah as Al-Khaliq, as the creator from nothing. But we know they can't do that. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give miracles? Why was Jesus himself a miracle and a performer of miracles? We know that these miracles serve the purpose of being a credential to the people to whom they were sent. The people of Jesus' time, they were very skilled in the knowledge of medicine at that time. So the miracle credential that Allah chose for him was the ability to heal the sick. It was a type of ability that was higher than the knowledge of medicine of his day. And this was his proof, this was his credential. It has been reported on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu that no infant, according to the saying of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no child, no infant in the cradle spoke except for Isa and the companion of Juraij and one other boy. So this is a very, very distinguished honor given to Isa, being born of Maryam without the agency of a father and being able to speak intelligible language as a babe. But should this be the reason why he should be considered as a god or son of God? Miracles have a place and a purpose in life. Today, because of the nature of our society and because of the fact that atheism or the belief in no God is competing with faith, with the peoples of faith all over the world, it would be kind of hard to think about this idea of a child being born from a woman without the agency of a father, when we see now they're producing or they're attempting to produce life in test tubes. They've already done it with animals, and they're working on doing it with human beings. So it is as if they are the disbelievers in God are attempting to challenge the sovereignty and the rule and the quality and characteristic of Allah as Al-Khaliq, as the creator from nothing. But we know they can't do that. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give miracles? Why was Jesus himself a miracle and a performer of miracles? We know that these miracles serve the purpose of being a credential to the people to whom they were sent. The people of Jesus' time, they were very skilled in the knowledge of medicine at that time. So the miracle credential that Allah chose for him was the ability to heal the sick. It was a type of ability that was higher than the knowledge of medicine of his day. And this was his proof, this was his credential. In the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the people worshiped the stars, they worshiped fire. And so when they attempted to kill Ibrahim alayhi salam, they put him in the fire that they worshiped, thinking that this would destroy him because he stood against their false worship. He stood up for Tawheed and the oneness of God. And that fire was made to be cooled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was his miracle, one of his miracles. In the time of Musa alayhi salam, the people were captivated by the magic of Fir'aun's court. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Moses the ability to perform magic that was superior to the magic of the court's magicians. And finally, we know that while the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yes, he did perform miracles by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest miracle of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, was the revelation of the Quran, the revealed book and very spoken word or speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these miracles serve as a credential, as a proof for the reality of the Prophet's missions. Allah says in Quran, "And I have come to you with a sign from your Lord that I designed for you out of clay, a figure like that of a bird, and breathe into it, and it becomes a bird by Allah's permission. And I heal the blind and the leper, and I bring the dead to life by Allah's leave. And I inform you what you eat and what you store in your houses. Surely therein is a sign for you if you believe. And I have come confirming that which was before me of the Torah, and to make lawful to you part of what was forbidden to you. And I have come to you with a proof from your Lord. So have taqwa of Allah and obey me, for truly Allah is my Lord and your Lord. So worship him alone. That is the straight path." MashaAllah. That sounds like Muhammad to me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a confirmation that the message that Jesus brought was the very same message that Muhammad came with, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And peace be upon Isa and the prophets that came before. They brought one message. Worship Allah, your Lord and my Lord, for that is the straight path. So how is it now that we have people who are now taking Jesus as a God besides Allah, or as the Son of God? You know, a long time ago, I had the opportunity to hear a speech wherein the speaker made a statement that was very profound. And he said that nations are born in one of two ways. A nation is born in truth, or a nation is born in mythology, in falsehood. Now, we can all relate to that. I know for those of us who may have studied the origins of the Greco-Roman civilization, and that's a part of required learning in Western educational circles. Y'all know about Western education, right? Western education, European education, they require you to study the foundations of the Greco-Roman civilization. We find civilizations here that are born on mythology, that are created out of a myth. The Roman civilization was born out of the myth that two twins lived for a period of time with a wolf, and this wolf raised them. As they got older, they became warrior-like. So this gave them license to go all over the world at that time and conquer other nations. We have myths in America that George Washington chopped down a cherry tree and never told a lie. The idea that Jesus is God or the Son of God is nothing more than a mythology that was put upon the people by not the companions of Jesus himself, but by one who was a persecutor of Jesus and a persecutor of the followers of Jesus. And his name was Paul. In fact, To be honest, to give credit where credit is due, most of the doctrines of the divided church today, and I was raised as a Catholic, and I recall there was more emphasis placed on what Paul taught than what Jesus taught. And if you read some of Paul's books, you will find out that he was no more than an opportunist. He was a chameleon. He would speak what this group of people wanted to hear, and when he was with that group of people, he would change his message, much like politicians do today. But as Muslims, we understand the birth of Jesus being a miraculous birth to prove to us that Allah Azza wa Jalla can create the human being in any manner or by any means he so pleases. If this event, Jesus being born without the agency of a father, makes him to be the Son of God, or in fact God, then how much more should Adam be considered as a son of God, or God himself? Because he was created from nothing, no mother nor father, just dust. Again, a word from Allah, kun fayakun. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, be, and Adam was. And Eve, Hawa, his wife, was created from the rib, from a man, from the rib of Adam, with no mother. We see children born every single day, millions upon millions of children. That in itself is a miracle birth. When a child is born, when a new baby comes into this life as a result of the husband and wife's love for each other, blessed by Allah the Almighty, and that new life comes into the world pure and obedient to Allah, that is a miracle. But because it happens so frequently, we don't see it. It's like, oh man, this happens all the time. Like if you were a farmer of apples, if you have an apple orchard, it's nothing for you to see apples all over your property. When they fall down, you just walk over them, and because, you know, these, you just have so many of them. It's not important. If some fall down to the ground and they're eaten by the worms, so what? There's more that's coming. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to use this event, the birth of Isa ibn Maryam, to remind us of his power, of his greatness, and that it is he who is the giver of life. That it is he who has but to command, be, and it will be. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam and guests, we have a great responsibility to share the message of Islam with the non-Muslim world. We have to tell them that we believe in Jesus, the son of Maryam. He is called the son of Maryam because he did not have a father. And he never himself referred to himself as the son of God. A'udhu billahi min dhalik. In fact, when one of his companions, Peter, was asked, when Jesus asked Peter, who do you say that I, the son of man, am? What did Peter say? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Isa ibn Maryam rebuked him and told him, do not say that. Alhamdulillah. Isa was no more than a man, but he was a specially chosen man to bring a message, to bring the Injil. And he was sent not for humanity. Jesus told us himself, he was not sent for all of the world. He told his companions, don't go to the Gentiles. You are only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So now, alhamdulillah, we found that that message given to Jesus, alayhi salam, being lost, being misinterpreted. Children born every single day. Millions upon millions of children. That in itself is a miracle birth. When a child is born, when a new baby comes into this life as a result of the husband and wife's love for each other, blessed by Allah the Almighty, and that new life comes into the world pure and obedient to Allah, that is a miracle. But because it happens so frequently, we don't see it. It's like, oh man, this happens all the time. Like if you were a farmer of apples, if you have an apple orchard, it's nothing for you to see apples all over your property. When they fall down, you just walk over them, and because, you know, these, you just have so many of them. It's not important. If some fall down to the ground and they're eaten by the worms, so what? There's more that's coming. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to use this event, the birth of Isa ibn Maryam, to remind us of his power, of his greatness, and that it is he who is the giver of life. That it is he who has but to command, be, and it will be. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam and guests, we have a great responsibility to share the message of Islam with the non-Muslim world. We have to tell them that we believe in Jesus, the son of Maryam. He is called the son of Maryam because he did not have a father. And he never himself referred to himself as the son of God. A'udhu billahi min dhalik. In fact, when one of his companions, Peter, was asked, when Jesus asked Peter, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? What did Peter say? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Isa ibn Maryam rebuked him and told him, do not say that. Alhamdulillah. Isa was no more than a man, but he was a specially chosen man to bring a message, to bring the Injil. And he was sent not for humanity. Jesus told us himself, he was not sent for all of the world. He told his companions, don't go to the Gentiles. You're only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So now, alhamdulillah, we found that that message given to Jesus, alayhi salam, being lost, being misinterpreted, being changed over time. We find in the Bible, and you know the story very well, we have our scholar, Dr. Zakir Naik, alhamdulillah, who has done a tremendous job following the line of Sheikh Ahmed Didat, may Allah have mercy upon him and grant him Jannah, explaining the mysteries of the Bible. Alhamdulillah, we have the responsibility, dear brothers and sisters, to bring truth to the forefront and to correct this picture. How is it that we can allow at least 1/5 or 1/4 of the world's population to have the incorrect understanding of one of our prophets and messengers? Why didn't we raise the hand of protest when a certain movie star produced a movie called The Passion that gained such wide acclaim? This movie is now being circulated in the prisons in North America. And they sent, do you know, they sent this movie to Muslims who were forced from their country in Africa to immigrate to the United States. They sent that movie, The Passion, to our Muslim brothers and sisters. Where were we when it was produced? Some of us were found even sitting up in the movie. Some of us even bought the movie, The Passion, as if this was true. But yet, we raised our hand of protest when some knuckleheads drew some cartoons. Those are knuckleheads, those are kuffar, those are mushrikeen. They're gonna behave like they're gonna behave. They're gonna do ignorant things. But we should be about giving the da'wah and correcting the picture. We should be proactive in letting the people know who is Isa ibn Maryam, that we believe in Jesus, the son of Mary, that he was born of a miraculous birth, but that did not make him the son of God or God, because he was the command of God fulfilled, kun fayakun. You see, when we begin to attack this lie that Jesus is the son of God, we will begin to wake the people up to let them know that they have been lied to. And it's time out for lies. A whole nation of people have been obliterated from the earth in the last decade because they were lied to. So we as Muslims have been given the truth, and we need to hold it up high. We need not be intimidated by the mongrels of falsehood who want to sell lies to keep the masses of the people in ignorance, in darkness. Here's the trick. I'm a father, as many of you are, and I have sons who are born from my own loins, and I also have stepsons. Now, I'm going to just give you a hypothetical situation. You have a man who is a father, but he has only one son. Only one son whom he may call his only begotten son. But he has stepsons, and he loves all of them. He loves all of them, but he loves this, his natural born son, the most. And in the interest of fairness and justice, he tries not to show that to the rest of his stepsons. But his natural born son, he is so proud of him because his son, he's obedient, he's dutiful, he does his homework, his responsibilities, he doesn't hang out, he doesn't go to parties or bars, he doesn't use drugs or alcohol, he doesn't chase women, he does what he's asked to do, he's very responsible, his father's very proud of him, he loves him. But his stepsons, man, they off the chain. I mean, these guys, you guys whom I've adopted into my family, you know, you guys, you get in trouble, you go to jail, you party, you chase women. Something has to be done. I mean, we got to stop this. So he gathers all of his sons together. He gathers his natural born son and all of his stepsons together. And he dresses them all. Sons, I love all of you. I have nourished you and raised you up from the time you were young. I fed you from my own hand, changed your diapers. But I'm sorry to say, my stepsons, you are making me very ashamed of you. So because of your wrong actions, because of your misbehavior, I'm going to have to do something. This situation has got to stop. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to punish the son that I love the most, my only begotten son. So his natural born son got it coming. Not because he did wrong, but because the stepsons did wrong. Now, I don't know about you, but I know the stepsons I have, if they heard me say that to them, they would be glad that they weren't my natural son. Say, boy, I sure am glad I'm not him. And my natural born son, he'd be trying to get away because he would realize, this isn't fair. Where's the fairness in this, Dad? Why don't you punish them instead of me? You see the parallel? So now what we have today is a whole society of people who believe that they can just do anything they want and then wake up tomorrow accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they'll be all right. Brothers and sisters, we have to dispel the myths of society. We have to build a society established on truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this book, Al-Quran, as a healing and as a mercy to correct the misinformation that has been promoted about Isa ibn Maryam. This is a great job, a great responsibility. And inshallah ta'ala, Allah will give us the means to do so. So in closing, dear brothers and sisters, let us remember what Allah Azza wa Jalla has said in the Quran. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Tell the people, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O people of the book, O people of the scripture, let us come to a word that is just between us, between you and us, that we worship none but Allah, and that we associate no partners with Him, and that none of us shall take others as lords besides Allah. And then if they turn away, say to them, bear you witness that we indeed are Muslims. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. I ask Allah's forgiveness. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم.